We have, yes, obviously, Wove in the house. Justin Baum, who's the VP of UX.
You got it.
Explain that. What did
you know, I thought, what's the first?
UX. What does a VP of UX do with a technology that's so new?
Literally,
like Wove.
Was hoping you wouldn't ask that question out the gate when I was driving.
What do you do here? What exactly do you do here?
So I'm, you know, 10 years into having that title, you know, a title that has the two letters U and X in them. And so I have a canned answer that I'll provide
to
you.
Sure. Yeah.
There's two ways to look at it. There's UX, the thing, right? The thing that all engineers, designers, bosses, they all work on it. It's what we work to deliver to people. Mm-hmm. And then there's UX, which I think is an umbrella term for like 40 different disciplines, right? So I identify with interaction design, which, you know, is about behavior, about studying users' needs, about creating products that answer those needs.
Anticipating what a user might want to do.
Right, and then that, you know, there's a bunch of follow-up from that, like user research and UI design. You know, HCI has this huge heritage that kind of predates the term UX, I assume. People would probably beat me up in the comments for that, but,
What is the I saw this meme going around or whatever, but it was like the difference between UI and UX, and like UI is the path that the landscaper is built to get from point A to point B across the courtyard, and UX is the dirt path that people actually take to get from point A to point B.
It's really good.
Right?
I've never heard that one.
Yeah. It's much better visually. So it's somewhere on the internet. I'm sure you find it. But that's the example. UI is what is design, but UX is the experience, is actually how
users
do it.
Another way to look at it is UI guys, and people always overlap, right? Mm-hmm. But UI guys are generally going to be the ones that know iOS the best, and they know the human interface guidelines to the T, and they can tell you how every control works and when to use it and when not to use it. They're probably pixel people. They want to make things look beautiful from a graphic design perspective. The interaction designers are more about the people and the customer and understanding them and designing that dialogue between the user and the system that's being built. But all the cool kids these days, they want to be product designers. That no one wants the UX title anymore.
Right. It's a bit passe now. We still like that you're doing UX, though.
Okay.
So we're here.
We think you're cool.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Well, we're going to think you're cool even more so after we see all this. So you're here today because last week Wove launched, right?
Yeah, we did some announcements.
So for anybody who might have missed the announcement, what is Wove?
Yes.
Well, Wove is a wrist device. It's a wearable.
Okay.
It's not a smartwatch. You know, it's a product that has a display that literally wraps around your wrist. And that display, the whole product is flexible. And flexible is an abused term in the industry, I think. You know, things that are rigid and curved might be considered flexible under some companies.
We've seen that around.
Yeah,
we've seen that in Samsung's marketing.
Yeah. You have to flex it.
You do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. How is it flexible? That's a good point. Ron Amadio said this.
Yeah.
How is it flexible?
You can imagine the product marketing discussions that fall out of this. Yeah. You know, the frustration. Yeah. The reality is those products aren't flexible. You know, curved TV is not flexible, nor is a curved, rigid OLED display on your wrist. But ours is truly flexible. It's dynamically, mechanically flexible, unlike any other product that's been released in the market. So we hope to release the first product with a truly flexible display. And I actually brought some display modules for you guys to check out.
And they look like snap bracelets. I just have to say, I want to snap them on my wrist and just have them go all around.
Yeah, so these are actual displays that will be in the product. And obviously, the display needs to be surrounded by a mechanical structure that supports it. But it is, this thing is bendy. When I first saw this, it blew my mind. The product won't actually do this, but you can roll it up and it's fine. You can do that over and over and over again.
Now, why won't the product actually do that?
Great question. Because the wrist isn't actually that size,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
So the mechanical structure that supports the display has to conform to the wrist, and it also has to protect the product itself. Yeah. The other great thing about these displays is it allows the device to transform.
Yeah.
Smartwatches in general are an artifact that we're all really familiar with. It's been around for a long time. Putting a computer in one is pretty interesting. I'm actually one of those few people that will beat the smartwatch drum. Yeah. I'm into it. But when you have a bigger display, you start to get into this territory where you can think about UI and the relationship to the device in a very different way than you can on a smartwatch. And you saw up there this word compositions. So we call the things you put on the device compositions. We don't call them apps. And that's because they start to mix together a lot of different types of functionality. They start to mix together aesthetics with functionality in a way that hasn't really been seen before. People are wearing OSs on their body now, and we don't really think that anybody wants to wear an OS. We think that, there's a much different relationship between what you show on a screen on your body and what you show on a screen on your phone.
Right.
Yeah.
So those compositions can be, I mean, so we were just looking at the product shots of the actual wearable, and it's got kind of the watch kind of bezel around it. So what, if I were to get one of those, does that have compositions loaded onto it, or am I actually authoring them as am I personalizing it?
We are, yeah. And that's actually what we announced. Yeah. It's really exciting that the tools we're offering for people to make stuff are, they start with graphics tools that anybody can use. You know, I dabble, I code a little bit, but I'm no expert. So I'll probably be using these graphics tools to compose the perfect dashboard, piece of art, whatever I want from a variety of different building blocks.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So that's for us. And
can
then
I please see one?
I'm sorry. I'm dying.
Yeah,
I'll give you guys a couple of these.
What do these work like in real life? How would this work?
I should mention it's fully touch enabled. So this is not only a flexible display, but it's a flexible touch layer as well.
So this is the actual product.
This is the display.
This
module.
Is the display. Yeah. Josh, pull up the slide of the product again.
Yep.
See, so this is the display.
Yeah, so there's a mechanical structure that goes over. And if you guys have some footage of that, if people want to dig back into the older episode, the interaction design is essentially a lot shallower than a smartwatch. There's not a lot of hierarchy. So we're taking advantage of the display real estate by not trying to apply all the metaphors from phones to your wrist. I think that's what's happening in Android Wear and in iOS right now. So you can imagine a much less claustrophobic experience, an experience that is persistent. These displays never turn off. So if you look at the Apple Watch, most of the time it looks like your phone right now.
Yeah, it's the watch I'm wearing, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it's...
And you gesture and it wakes up and that's cool. But
it's actually kind of annoying.
Okay, yeah. It is annoying, I agree. We try not to poo-poo too much, you know. Yeah, but this is similar to a Kindle, similar display technology to a Kindle. And when a display is on your body and it never turns off, that really changes the relationship, not only that you have with the display, but other people. All of a sudden, you can start flossing and flexing a little. You can put some stuff on there that is maybe not all about functionality, and it's about expression, it's about art. And we think the sweet spot, the reason that we kind of are allowed to say these are called compositions, not apps, is because the mixture of aesthetics and functionality hasn't really been seen before. You know, getting things done in a way that is... has more in common with what you see in the world of fashion and lifestyle brands. Mm-hmm. You know, I think is really cool. And you know, Apple and Google did a great job with Android Wear and iOS. They're in their infancy. I really believe they're going to get better and better and better. But they are their computer OSs. You know, and I don't think people want to wear that.
Manufacturers are trying to like make these watches that are more stylish. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not going to spend $300-$400 and something that's going to be, you know, it looks good on my wrist, but it's going to be outdated in 18 months.
Yeah. Or that it's not functional, even if it's outdated. I mean, like, because that's the thing is that, like, I've been wearing the G-Watch, you know, for over a year now. And really it's distilled down to I wear it when I go running. And like that's
right, because
that's
you
it.
Get those little app that little app functionality from it,
right? Because it's
functional, really
but everything else, the daily wearing, the functionality isn't quite there. And like the idea of being able to customize, these are the apps that I'm interested in, and these are the bits of data I want to see.
Yeah,
it's really cool. What was the deal with the devil like to make this technology?
Oh my gosh,
this is crazy!
Yeah,
this is so cool.
Well, I've got the building block right here. This is a our transistors, essentially. So, Poliera, fundamentally, you know, this is what we make. We make flexible transistors. And these things can go into anything from a sensor array to logic circuitry to a display, you know, module. And this was 10 years in the making. Yeah. You know, so I met the founder, Phil, 2 years ago. When he showed me this and showed me something similar to that, it kind of blew me away. You know,
this is the goddamn future. Like this is a moment, right? Like this is because this is the kind of thing that we were raised on what we should see, and this is the innovation that I personally haven't seen in the space. And so this is blowing me away. This is so cool.
it's humbling and exciting to be able to work on something like this.
I,